Phil Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom engineering and producing our program on the other side of the glass. Thank goodness the air conditioning is working at a very, very efficient level, Tom, because the warning, the excessive heat warning, has now, has now gone to a full-blown warning. We're really going to heat up.
Well, thank goodness the AC is working better than your engineer.
Well, this is good news to wake up with. Overcast today, burned off pretty fast, but still a 20% chance of a thunderstorm in the Tucson area. Kind of remote, but good to see finally a chance of rain in our forecast for probably the first time in a long, long, many months here in Tucson. Today is Thursday. It is the 9th of June, 2022. We're in our 12th year doing the radio show, and we started the radio show after we left Channel 6 after 22 years at Arizona Illustrated. The program broadcasts from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, 1030 KVOI, The Voice. The Voice for Trusted News Talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. We've got all of the podcasts there as well. We make it so easy. Just do the search, put in a name, and the program will come up. And we've got, over 11 years worth of programs that have been archived very conveniently for you on the website. Whenever we do a telephone interview on our live line, we like to say that the program, the live line, is sponsored by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. And we will start on the live line with District 2 Democrat Supervisor Rex Scott, one of five members of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Supervisor Scott, how are you?
I'm fine, Bill, but please, I represent District 1, not District 2.
I'm sorry, what am I talking about? District 1, of course.
You're even one of my constituents.
I am. You'll have to forgive me. I'm kind of still, I guess, sort of chilled out from my trip to Hawaii. But
Bill, I will forgive you, although I'm also tremendously envious of you. I've been listening to your descriptions of the view that you and Ann were able to set up from your hotel, and I don't know why you ever came back.
I know. It was very hard to come back. That view was a million-dollar view, I'll tell you, from the Sheraton Waikiki. We really researched it, wanted the best view of Diamond Head, where you could actually hear the waves. Normally you hear a lot of people down on the beach, but you know, people go home and things get late at night and you still hear those wonderful waves coming in, and it was great. We do want to note, Supervisor Scott, that former senior University of Arizona vice president and longtime Tucson city manager, in fact, Joel Valdez he was appointed in 1974. He was 39 years old at the time that he became the city manager, served for the next 16 years in that capacity. Rex Scott, he was one of the most important leaders in our region of the modern era, and I've been around for over 34 years in the media here, and he was an extremely influential character here on the governmental scene.
I never had the opportunity to work with or even to meet Mr. Valdez, but certainly his record and reputation are well known to me, and it is a tremendous loss to our community. And of course, we send all of our best wishes and blessings to his family and friends.
Let's talk about that recent op-ed that you had in the Arizona Daily Star. You, before becoming District 1 Pima County Supervisor, you had a long career in the trenches, in education. You were very much involved with local education. You wrote an op-ed saying that preschool funding is a ladder for local kids. Doesn't get a lot of publicity, but could you give us an update? Where are we in the preschool funding right now in Pima County?
Well, Bill, really, if you look at the education system within our county, if you start with preschool and go all the way up to higher education, the only area where the county can have a significant impact, where we can play a leadership role, is with preschool. The K-12 districts and the charter schools are responsible for education at that level. Pima Community College and the University of Arizona deal with higher ed. But what we saw around the country, there were cities and counties that were playing a leadership role in terms of reducing barriers to access to preschool. If you want to send your child to preschool in Pima County, the average cost is $800 a month. And if you are a family that is already struggling with housing and groceries and medical costs and putting gas in your car, that may seem like a luxury. And so for families that struggle even in good economic times to pay that kind of extraordinary cost, we wanted to reduce that barrier to access to preschool, because if you're not able to pay for that for your child, then your child is at a disadvantage when compared to the children and families for whom that cost is not as much of a burden. So we set the initial threshold at any family that was at whose income was at 200% of the federal poverty level. And for a family of four, that's right around $53,000 a year. They would be eligible for a scholarship that they could use at any of the preschools that are run by our partners in the K-12 community or in the nonprofit sector. And in the first year, we were able to help close to 700 kids who would not be able to attend preschool otherwise. And we're hoping to increase that number to right around 1,200 next year. We also are working with the United Way through a program called Accelerate Quality to increase the number of providers in the county, preschool providers in the county, who meet the standards set by the state of Arizona. And right now we have right around 210 preschools in the county who meet those standards, and this Accelerate Quality program through United Way is helping them to reach that threshold. When you think about what these opportunities mean for these children and their career and education, to their families, really the potential is boundless. And so we're very excited and very proud with what was accomplished in the first year. During the first 3 years of the program, we're using federal pandemic relief funds through the American Rescue Plan Act to fund the program. But we got permission from the legislature and the governor last year to use a portion of the secondary property tax that funds the library district to fund the program in the long term. So we've got a stable source of funding that our partners in the K-12 districts and also in the nonprofit sector can see as reassurance that the program isn't going anywhere, and we're going to be able to continue to expand the number of kids who are served by the program moving forward.
What is the reach, do you estimate, on how many parents could eventually be served by this? What do you, have you done any calculations on what is the potential pool of families that could be helped with this, Rex Scott?
Well, we had the potential this year to help up to 1,200 kids, and we were only able to help 700 kids because the preschool sector, just like the rest of our economy, is recovering from the pandemic. There was also some reticence on the part of some parents to send their child into a preschool environment, given that it's taken a long time for there to be a COVID vaccine developed for children five and under. But we're hopeful next year that we're going to be able to get at least up to that level of 1,200 that we had planned for this year. I think we're going to exceed that. One local superintendent told me that because of the expansion planned within his district, he thinks they're going to be able to serve the number of children equal to half a kindergarten cohort And that's a significant expansion within that school district, which is one of the larger school districts in the county. And we're seeing plans for expansion in all of the school districts that are partnering with us. We're also seeing plans for expansion within the nonprofit sector. So ultimately, we want to be able to help any child in the community whose parent wants to send them to preschool but has issues with affordability.
Well, I think it's a terrific program. Are there enough facilities? I don't know what the preschool scene is like in Pima County. Are there enough facilities that can handle this group of children coming in?
That's one of the reasons, Bill, that we are so excited about our partnership with the United Way and their Accelerate Quality program. The goal of the Accelerate Quality program is to expand the number of preschools that meet the standards set by the state of Arizona. And right now we're around approximately 210 preschool providers within the county. And we're always going to be looking to grow that number because you're right, the demand is going to increase as more people find out about this program. And we also still need to be able to accommodate children who come from families for whom cost is not the same issue as it is for these poorer families.
All right, Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott with us. District 1, one of your fine businesses is Mona's, one of the fine businesses in the district is Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Rex Scott, could you go with some bakery goods right now? What are you feeling like?
You know, Bill, I am a big fan, and I think I've said this on your show before, of anything with cinnamon. So that might be my go-to, but I also am a big fan of any kind of fruit-based pastry, something with raspberry or blackberry, maybe even something more exotic like a passion fruit. So, and I'm certain that the folks of Mona's would be able to accommodate any hankering I may have.
Oh, there's no question about it. A regular Danish. That's part of the signature pastries up there with the Danish Kringle. But a regular Danish would be filled with apricot or something. They could do the raspberry, but that would go very nice right now with some of that wonderful coffee that they have up at Mona's. And for cinnamon, there's no question that Mona's really excels when it comes to cinnamon rolls. The roll itself can come in the two varieties, the flat roll or kind of a more standard, like a dinner roll that's a cinnamon roll, but both are just loaded with cinnamon, and I'm sure it would meet your expectations, Rex Scott. They are open right now for lunch, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, open for breakfast, 6:30 in the morning, Tuesday through Sunday. They are taking Monday off. The website's monasdanishbakery.com. We have more with Supervisor Rex Scott right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and the name of the program, well, that's me, Bill Buckmaster, and tomorrow we want to talk about our Friday Focus interview. She's always a great interview. We try to get her on every quarter. Teresa Cullen, Dr. Cullen, who is the Pima County Health Director. We are very lucky to have someone of her stature as our Pima County Health Director. She has an international reputation. She's always very transparent, very articulate. She'll be with me, and let's see, we have Eddie Celaya of the Arizona Daily Star as our guest reporter for the interview tomorrow. Yesterday, we had a newsmaker interview with Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham. Our Lifeline participant right now is Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott, a Democrat, District 1. I almost said Republican because I had gotten so used to saying Republicans representing District 1, Supervisor Scott. After all, you are the first Democrat since 1972 to represent the Foothills District. So anyway, you did hear some of the interview with Councilman Cunningham, and in the last minute or so of the interview, I asked him, will the passage of the city's 10-year road program, will it impact RTA next? And he didn't think so. And then I asked him, are you open? Is the door open as far as you're concerned, Paul Cunningham, to the RTA next program? And what was your feeling about how he responded?
I very much appreciated Council Member Cunningham's comments, and they're consistent with what I observe every time the RTA board meets and I'm interacting with all of the other members of the RTA board, including Mayor Romero, who is the City of Tucson's representative to the RTA board. I think that every jurisdiction that is represented within the RTA, including the City of Tucson, is committed to getting through a successful completion of the current RTA plan and getting a fulsome, attractive RTA next plan in front of the voters so that it can be hopefully approved by them and in place when the current plan expires in 2026.
Do you agree with Councilman Cunningham that the passage of the city's road program really won't have that much impact on RTA Next.
I do agree with that, Bill. I think that the city of Tucson voters made choices with regard to the passage of Prop 411 that were consistent with what they heard were going to be the uses of those funds within the city. However, with regard to the RTA, every resident of Pima County, including the residents of the city of Tucson, are parts of the RTA. And I think certainly every government within the RTA, but also every citizen within Pima County recognizes the need for us to continue the regional approach to dealing with transportation issues that's been so successful during the first 20-year plan and that needs to be continued with a new plan that will cover the period from 2026 when the current plan expires to 2046.
There was a unanimous vote of you and your colleagues, the five members on the board, saying yes to this new spending program for Pima County. The new fiscal year will begin July 1st, reducing the tax rate for the fifth year in a row. Some of your thoughts overall on this spending program.
Well, Bill, I'm pleased that, as you said, we're going to be able to reduce the overall property tax rate by 13 cents per $100 of assessed valuation. My colleagues and I recognize the fact that because of increasing property values, and this is going to be, I believe, the eighth year in a row, or at least the eighth year in the last 10 years, that the overall property value rate in the county has gone up. That's a good thing in a lot of respects, but when property valuations go up, that definitely can have an effect on property taxes. So we're glad that we're going to be able to reduce the overall property tax rate. The county county sets the rate not just for the primary property tax, but also for the three secondary taxes that fund our long-term debt, the flood control district, and the library district. The overall rate, as I said, the combination of those four rates is going to go down by 13 cents. But we know that there are other entities within the region that use property tax, all the school districts, the fire districts, Pima Community College, the Central Arizona Water Conservation District. So we don't know what all of those entities are going to do with their property tax rates. And we also know that the overall increase in valuation also plays a big factor in what everybody sees on their bill when they get their property tax bill.
What is this public hearing on June 21st called Truth in Taxation Public Hearings? It will be at the Board of Supervisors hearing room in the County Administration Building. Are you urging people to go if they have questions about rate increases?
I always think that people should attend any meeting of the board, perhaps especially when we're talking about the budget. Truth in Taxation is something that is set up under Arizona state law. And anytime a levy proposed by any government entity exceeds what's known as the neutral levy for that particular tax, you have to have what's known as a Truth in Taxation hearing to speak to why you're going to exceed that neutral levy. And because we are going to exceed the neutral levy, even though we're reducing taxes overall, we're required to have those hearings under state law.
I have time for maybe a couple of budget highlights. Some new road construction is in the program. This is very important. I guess there's some capital projects that will be funded.
Bill, we have for the third fiscal year in a row used a condition within the county's PAYGO program, which funds all of our capital improvements, including road repair and maintenance. We've infused additional funds into the program. We're allowed to do that under the enabling legislation that set the program up. And the previous board did it for their the last fiscal year they were responsible for. We've done it the first two fiscal years. We're taking advantage of the low interest rates that have been in place to infuse some additional funds using short-term debt through what are known as certificates of participation. We're last year when we did that, it enabled us to repair an additional 130 miles of roadway above and beyond what was originally budgeted. If people want to go on my website, www.district1.pima.gov, they can see not only the list of roads that are going that were repaired in this fiscal year, they can see the list of roads that are slated for repair in the coming fiscal year.
All right, Supervisor Rex Scott, Democrat representing Pima County Board of Supervisors, District 1. We will look forward to your visit with us in July. In the meantime, try to stay cool, Supervisor.
Absolutely, Bill, and thank you for giving me another reason to head up to Mona's. you always make it sound very enticing.
Well, thank you very much. Great bakery up there at Mona's. Coming up next, General Maxwell joins us. And we're going to talk about roads. We're going to talk about the legislature. We got a ton of things to talk about with the general. He's got all his notes spread out on the table. I think he is ready for me. That's coming up next. Be right back.
CBS News Brief. We're following breaking news out of Michigan, where a police officer in Grand Rapids has been charged with second-degree murder for the death of a black driver during a traffic stop. Officer Christopher Scher is accused of shooting Patrick Leola in the back of the head after he was already on the ground. The whole thing was caught on video. In Washington, a House panel is gearing up for high-profile hearings tonight on last year's Capitol riot. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
The committee has completed more than 1,000 interviews and gathered more than 140,000 records despite a boycott and fierce criticism by nearly all Republicans.
And President Biden promoted economic unity today during an address to leaders at the Summit of the Americas in L.A.
I just think the potential is unlimited. The region is filled with dynamic energy, entrepreneurs who are ready to break out, innovators who will change the way we think and the way we do things.
The president is expected to speak again soon. CBS News Brief, I'm Monica Ricks.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Thursday edition. I want to talk about my favorite nursery in town. That would be Green Things. And I've been sending everybody over to Green Things now before the rains come. And you may wonder, well, why'd we go over there now? Well, get your stuff, your beautiful plants, in the ground now, because they will then all ready for, hopefully, keeping our fingers crossed, maybe some moisture here in a couple of weeks. I mean, let's hope within 2 weeks we get some moisture, because we've had virtually nothing. One of the driest years, maybe so far, I think it is the driest year on record. Green Things, their location is 3384 East River Road, right by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Also home to Zocalo Village, all that beautiful merchandise, and Talavera Pottery. Jan and Jack, the owners, make those buying trips down to Mexico, and they just bring back beautiful things. GreenThingsAZ.com is the website, and then ZocaloVillage.com. General Ted Maxwell joins us now in the Green Things studio. General Maxwell is the CEO, president, and CEO of the Southern Arizona Leadership Council. They've got about 140 CEOs and business and community leaders that get together to try to make where we live here in Southern Arizona a better place. General Maxwell's been heading up the organization. Actually, his anniversary will be next month. He came on board in July of 2018. 34 years of military service. Before joining SALC, Ted served 15 years active duty Air Force, an additional 19 in the Arizona National Guard. And when he retired, he was at the rank of Major General. That retirement was in 2018. His final military position, commander of the Arizona Air National Guard. General Maxwell, a pleasure.
Thanks, Bill. Always good to be here.
You know, we were talking during the break about, I was mentioning my trip to Hawaii to you. Does each state have an Air National Guard?
Not 100%, okay. But they all have National Guard units.
Because I know through. Hawaii had we saw some.
You know what?
I
actually
there.
All 54 states and territories, right, including the District of Columbia, mm-hmm, do have Air National Guards. Now, they all don't have flying missions.
Uh-huh.
And the flying missions vary. We're very lucky here in the state of Arizona. We've got the fifth largest Air National Guard in the nation. And that's why the position I retired from, in some states, it's a one-star position. In some, it's two. And here in Arizona, it's a two-star opportunity for our airmen to achieve. And we've got a tanker unit up in Phoenix that flies the KC-135 air refueling unit. One of the few air refueling units in the western side of the United States, so it's really
busy.
Important. They are very busy. Mm-hmm. Not to mention they go. We were talking about Hawaii, but
yeah,
they go to Hawaii. They go to Guam. They've got the deployments to Guam on a routine basis.
Mm.
So they're really active. And then at the 162nd wing here in Tucson, we not only have the F-16 unit, which is now the largest F-16 unit in the United States, or in the world for that matter, but we also have the MQ-9 unit that operates out of Davis-Monthan. And so we got over 2,700 airmen that serve in the Arizona Air National Guard. So we've got three flying missions, so some states are envious of that, and then we've got a lot of airmen. So we really do support the U.S. Air Force in their roles and missions.
From one of our hotel rooms in Honolulu, we enjoyed each morning taking a look at four F-35s, taking off from Pearl Harbor. And I'm telling you, it was just amazing to see how fast those aircraft just descend. And before you know it, they're like flying sideways. And you know, you think, well, how are they each going to catch up with each other? Well, they were together in like a nanosecond, the four of them.
Yeah, that's the goal. You want to be together when you're coming and going to the airfield. But then when we get out there and fight tactically, we still operate as an organization, but Yes. We're a little wider apart. I don't know if you've seen the new Top Gun yet.
I have not, but everybody's saying it's fantastic. Oh,
the flying scenes are actually pretty incredible. But there's always, you know, the pilot of us, you know, look at some of the tactics that they deploy. They need to have multiple planes in those screenshots. The reality is we try to stay as far apart from each other, but still in visual sight, because that makes it harder for the bad guys to find us.
Yeah.
When you're close together, you're just, you know, you try to spread it out. But it is, the movie I thought was really great. The Navy has had a way all along of really outshining the Air Force when it comes to the movies that they take part in.
Stuff.
And I think it's going to be a big recruiting tool for the Navy, and the Air Force will get bleed over it too, because when you look at it, there's really more flying fighter aircraft opportunity in the United States Air Force than there is in the U.S. Navy.
Well, I could talk with you the whole show about the rest of the show about flying and aircraft, because I love that kind of thing. But I do want to get an update from you on the legislature. Here we are again, where the clock is ticking. We do need a new spending plan by midnight on the first day of July. Could you give us an overview of the budget and how it might impact us?
Well, Bill, one thing that I think is always true is you always say that when you don't have any money, it's not as hard to figure out how to spend it.
Yeah.
Because you've got the basics.
Yep.
And you have to do that. This year is kind of an anomaly, in part because the federal funds that came in and how they were be able to use those at the state, in part because the economy has been strong through the pandemic. I mean, we're obviously seeing inflation right now, but the actual generation of taxes has been pretty strong when you look at our state being a heavy sales tax and property tax basis. So they're staring at about $6.9 billion of excess. So Guess what? Everybody's got their idea how we should spend this extra money.
I can't recall in my 30 plus years here in the state that kind of a rainy day fund, or that kind of excess.
No, a lot of it has been as the rainy day funds and the extra funds have been built up over the last, 4 to 8 years. I mean, that was a priority of Governor Ducey when he came in, and he did. He built up a rainy day fund. And then this year, the taxes came in much higher than predicted. We've had a lot of infusion. I mean, I know we're going to talk a little bit about roads later just the money that has come to infrastructure in the last couple of years from the federal government for us to spend, or this year, not the last couple, this year, has changed our whole 5-year plan and ADOT.
Will it be noticeable?
Oh, it will be. There's no doubt. We can talk some details on that in the next section. But to the budget, the thing that's facing the legislators now is it really the conversations are occurring in small groups. They're past the date where legislators continue to get paid for their service up there. So this is really, there's a lot of legislators who are, well, all the legislators who are going to want to come back to the state legislature or run for a higher office, perhaps statewide, they need to get out on the road and campaign.
Yeah.
So while all these smaller conversations are going on, you're seeing more of the sitting legislators on radio shows or on TV or even out making appearances because they've, you know, the early ballots will be out in less than a month. I mean, July 6th.
So it's
coming. And the fact is they know that they're up against the July 1st deadline. So they are, some folks are digging in. You know, they've got the money. It's going to be a big budget. There's a lot of good things in the current budget that they're trying to make work. I don't think this will be the final one. I think you're going to see another significant modification. But the bottom line is the thing that's holding it up. And when I say holding up, I don't mean that in a bad way. The thing that is the point of contention is how much money will go towards education. With the recent Supreme Court rulings, it changed the structure of it. 208 got, overturned. The initiation to put the flat tax on the ballot got overturned. So all those things were solved by the courts and not the legislature. And that was playing into a lot of the negotiations before those decisions. But now what they're facing is you still have some legislators that are holding out for the education budget, particularly Senator Paul Boyer on the Republican side. And there are other Republicans that want to see more money in education. And I think we're going to. Mm-hmm. The question is, right now the proposal up there is for about $450 million to K-12, additional dollars to K-12 education. But there are those up there that want to see it more like a billion. When you have $6 billion of excess funds, there's a lot of folks that are holding out that this is the time for the legislature to do that acknowledgement, because the voters have said they want more money in education. This might be the time to do it and do it significantly. So it's negotiations. I think it will go pretty close to the end, because that's when they all start knowing that they need to get a budget through, or the state doesn't have any money to function.
Yeah. I can remember where they stopped the clock. that was quite a long time ago, but they actually stopped the clock at midnight on the 30th to try to get a budget, and I think there was no clock running for 4 or 5 hours, but that was a long time ago.
I hope we don't see that
again. I hope not.
But you never know. There's a lot of good things going into the budget, and I think the money coming out, you're going to see the state reducing the debt. You're going to see more money in education. You see more money in infrastructure. A lot of programs are going to get funded. Most of it's one-time money, which makes it a challenge instead of continuing basis. But I think the legislature will come to a conclusion in time.
When we continue with General Ted Maxwell, Southern Arizona Leadership Council President and CEO, and one of the 9 members on the Regional Transportation Authority Board of Directors, and he was appointed in 2021 by Governor Ducey to represent Pima County on the state, Arizona State Transportation Board, and that is a 7-member board. I always want to get that 7 members, then the RTA is a 9-member board. So when we come back, let's talk about transportation and maybe some improvements to I-10 that I'm hearing about, General. So we'll take a break right here in the Green Things Zilcalo Village Studios. Be right back.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than 2 decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Time to talk about Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. We have fun with the Buckmaster Show, guarantee. We say it's generally 10 degrees, at least 10 degrees cooler over in Silver City, and they are currently living up to that. It's 85 degrees. That's nice. Midday temperature for early June, and the reason it stays cooler not only during the day, but at night as well. The night times look really nice. Some of the forecasts, look at that, 61 degrees next week. Well, we're going to be really baking at night, and it's because of the elevation. At 5,000 to 7,000 feet over in Silver makes a difference. Start your planning. It's only about a three-hour drive. Start planning by visiting Southwest New Mexico, spelled out .org. Our good friends over there. On the website, they'll tell you about what to do, lots of great ideas, and some great places to stay. We continue our conversation with Southern Arizona Leadership Council, known as the SALC, President and Chief Executive Officer, General Ted Maxwell. He is also one of the seven members of the Arizona Department of Transportation Board. He represents Pima County on the board, and he's one of the nine members on the Regional Transportation Board of Directors. So we were talking in the first section, General Maxwell, about there is a lot of money available up there at the legislature, and let's see how that's going to translate into some road jobs that will help our moving some traffic here, especially on I-10. Do you have some news about that?
We actually do. We have got great news that came out. The I-10, the legislature had passed or was looking at a bill for $400 million to complete a large segment of I-10 from just south of Tucson approaching Casa Grande.
Okay.
One of the things that the state recognized, and under the IIJA, there was a lot of grant money that's available. Mm-hmm. And there was a grant called a mega grant. Mm-hmm. Well, all the applications for the mega grant were due on May 23rd. Mm-hmm. And our concern was that if we didn't have a budget, we felt confident because Governor Ducey had announced that $400 million investment in I-10 in a state of the state. But if it didn't get done by about May 13th, we would not have that money to be able to apply for the mega grant. Because mm-hmm. the mega grant, we think we're very competitive. We think we're in good shape to get it. Could get us another $300 to $400 million of federal money, which will allow us to complete in a single project to three lanes I-10 all the way between Tucson and Phoenix.
Really?
And as folks who make that drive a lot, like I do,
sure.
In the public policy space, and you know. A lot of our residents make that drive. Mm-hmm. That's where we have to go a lot of times for business. We go mm-hmm. there for recreation mm-hmm. and other opportunities. But to get that segment road complete, three lanes all the way through, not only will increase the safety, it will increase the travel time and the opportunities. It's still very difficult, but with three lanes, maybe when we have a road shutdown, it won't completely block either east or westbound traffic. But it was pretty significant that the legislature went and moved that bill in early May, got it done and got it signed by the governor, did not let that bill get hung up in budget negotiations.
Good.
So now we've got an opportunity to go out and get it. The other big investment bill is that bipartisan infrastructure plan. Mm-hmm. And we just at our last state transportation board meeting approved the five-year plan. And the five-year plan now includes an additional $887 million in a large part because of the investment through the bipartisan infrastructure law that is coming to the states.
Good.
So we've been able to add significant number of projects. There's some that are very focused on bridges and other items, but there's even one piece of that legislation that's focused on putting a electric vehicle charger stations on our major highways and roads that are designated as key corridors every 50 miles. Mm. And that, you know, as the vehicle traffic transitions more and more to electric vehicles and green vehicles, that without that kind of infrastructure, that transition would not be able to occur. As you know, the biggest limitation right now of an electric vehicle is how far you can go. So we need opportunities along our highways. And there's a lot of things in that bill, that law, that will bring a lot of money to the state. And it also trickles down a good portion of that money comes through formula funding, which means PAG will get more money for our roads, as will, and that then trickles down to some of the municipalities.
We talked, as you heard, part of the interview with Rex Scott, and we were talking about the RTA Next program, and what is your opinion on the city? It's good news, I think, for our region that the city taxpayers said yes to a 10-year road plan that continues with what they've been doing. I think it's good news.
I think it's good news for multiple reasons. Yeah. One is the fact that the city went forward with a half cent indicated that they were going to be committed towards the RTA. If they thought the RTA wasn't going to be good, or that they wouldn't benefit from it and they didn't want to participate, they could have just gone forward for a full cent to the city and taken care of the city, but they didn't. And not only that, the plan for that half cent is really focused. About 20% of it's on safety to improve multimodal travel, but 80% of it's focused on local roads. Mm-hmm. So it really does complement mm-hmm. what we mm-hmm. hope to put forward to the voters in the next several years for RTA Next, which focus more on the regional and the arterials and the roads that allow for the travel cross town and through town more. So we know that the city's 411, you know, it's said over 10 years we'll touch every neighborhood road, which, I, you know, to me that was a no-brainer. That mm-hmm. it was gonna be received well by the voting public. Now there's been a lot of action moving forward with the city and with all the members of the RTA board in the direction of getting the RTA Next plan put together. The Citizens Advisory Committee is now actually at the point of starting to review projects, starting to talk about what they want. Take a look at the different categories, transit, project money, and issues of that sort, which the board does give them some input to. But we really need that the 35 members of that Citizens Advisory Committee mirror and represent the communities at large in Pima County. And they're the ones that give the citizen input into creation of that plan.
I see all of these things complementing each other. Supervisor Scott, a minute ago, talking about the budget has there's some good road project money in that. The city with their program, and then with RTA Next. With the passage of RTA Next, which I hope will happen, I think we can really have a drastic improvement in our overall look of this county's roads.
And Bill, I completely agree with you, and it's good to see all the municipalities playing their role mm-hmm. and knowing what they need to do to keep our infrastructure strong. You know, at SALC, we say infrastructure is the backbone of our economy. And I'll even claim infrastructure is the backbone of our quality of life as well. Mm-hmm. If we don't have ways to get around in whatever manner we want to get around, it doesn't make for happy citizens. Mm-hmm. But RTA Next to me is still the critical key. And the reason I say that is on the State Transportation Board, I'm exposed to the fact that in order to preserve the pavement that we've got in our state highway system, it eats up the majority of the federal dollars we get, as well as the funding we get from our VLT and gas tax. So if there's going to be any expansion for growing communities, or even communities that are changing, you know, where the flow needs to go, that expansion for Pima County is going to come from RTA Next.
Yeah, don't count on the federal government.
No, the federal government and the state dollars, because the state government's going to preserve the current infrastructure first and then worry about trying to make expansion. And right now, we really only have dollars outside of the transportation authorities to fund expansion in the rural area. You know, mm-hmm, outer Arizona, the rural communities. So the RTA for us, the Maricopa transportation legislation for them, is the key to continued growth and expansion of our region.
When do you think that I-10 work could begin? I'm just about out of time.
It's the money, the dollars for the program, we're already showing them in 2023.
Okay.
So the money's there. There's been a plan for a long time, so it's not doesn't have to be developed. The key is getting the words on the grant, because we'd like it to be one big project. It makes it much easier from a management standpoint.
Get it all done. All done at once.
Yes, sir.
That would be wonderful. General Maxwell, always a pleasure. We'll look forward to your next visit to our program.
Thank you, Bill. I always appreciate being here.
Thank you. All right. That's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Tom on the other side of the glass, on behalf of General Maxwell, I'm Bill Buckmaster, urging you to stick around. Dave Ramsey's very popular show about your money is next on KVOI. Have a great afternoon.